to me, gathering at church really just encourages me. Just, you know, I think going through my life, there's been times where when I fell away from Christ, you know, I just felt so alone. And, you know, coming back and just reconnecting with God and other people and just seeing so much life change going on in the church, it's hard not to want to be a part of it.
And this church welcomes people. There's no doubt in my mind they welcome people. For those who are on the fence about coming to church, I think if they came more often, got involved in things here, they would grow.
And there's no pressure when you come, when you start coming to church here. There's no pressure, no guilt like some other churches are. It's just a very gentle, welcoming, and open arms.
I gotta come here to be filled up, to see my friends, love on new people, and just be part of this community.
Absolutely.
When you want to stay away is probably the time that you should be gathering closest to each other. You're surrounded with other people who believe. They're in all walks of life, and just to know that they're committed to Christ, so hey, I can be committed to the church too. It's important to just be together and reaffirm that for each other.
We need it.
I think it's important to come to church to grow in Christ, for one thing, and another thing is to know what's going on with our Christ Wesleyan family here, to know what their needs are, what they may be struggling with. Scripture says we are to bear each other's burdens, and to me, that's important, to bear each other's burdens.
If you're definitely seeking a church, you know, we heard it said a long time ago, don't just come one Sunday, because you never know if the door greeter might have an off day and you're going to judge the whole church, the whole information on one person. Come back 3-4 weeks in a row to get a warm, fuzzy feel, and you'll know if it's for you or not based on coming multiple weeks in a row.
Being here and being part of this church, a growing church in this local community, it's just really an honor for Mike and I.
So if you are hesitant to come, we would just welcome you to be here. That if you look around, there's someone who's been going to church their whole life, or someone who's here for the first time. In God's eyes, we're all equal. He loves us all the same. And if you're new and you are looking for somebody, please find John, Ralph, or myself. We would love to take you over to Lowell and get coffee, or you can meet our 5 crazy kids afterwards for lunch. We would just love nothing more.
Thank you to the Raups and the Stricklers and the Kalers. The Kalers actually come from our Sunbury campus, and Sunbury campus is actually joining us right now. So welcome, Sunbury. Thank you for gathering down there, Pastor Billy and Amanda. Thank you for serving down there as well. So we are talking about gathering together. And when I was thinking about whether or not to, we're kind of preaching to the choir. Look at y'all. You're here. You're gathering together. If you're online, you're gathering together online. This sermon is preached to those who actually aren't here. And so I was thinking, how do I tell people who aren't here that they need to get here? And so maybe if we teach the church to go into your world to tell those Christian believers who aren't making a priority to get to church, this is why you need to get to church. One of the most used verses for the importance of gathering together is, we just read it, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. I want to give context to that verse. We've already read the scripture, verse 19 all the way to 25, and we're going to dissect those 6 verses together to get towards the end where we can say, yes, this is why scripturally in the New Testament, New Covenant era, it is still important to gather together so we can worship God. But let's go to the God of prayer. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, you are so good. We are humbled by so many things. Humble us now through your word. Teach us what you want us to hear today, what you want us to learn and listen to, so that we can go outside these walls and to be better Christians. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if you want to get your Bibles, you can turn in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 25. We're going to sit there. So I'll give you a little bit of time to open. If you're not sure where Hebrews is, it's almost to the end of the New Testament, the end of the Bible. But before we dive in, I want to give you some context. Why was Hebrews written? Who is it written to? And who is it written by? First of all, it was written in about 64 or 67 AD, somewhere there. So what was happening was Jesus, about 30 years earlier, had ascended into heaven. And so Jesus had left this earth to join his Father in heaven. This was also roughly 3 to 5 years before the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. So God is literally preparing his church for a terrible day. And so he came to this author. Now, Hebrews doesn't have an author affiliated with it. There's not enough evidence to support who wrote Hebrews. But the majority of people, because of some of the wording, because of the greeting, because of the end of the book, a lot of people attribute Hebrews to the Apostle Paul. Now, what was going on is Christianity was illegal. This book was written to Hebrews who converted from the Jewish culture to the Christian culture. We would call them Messianic Jews, those Jews by their nation, by their heritage, but now believe in Jesus Christ. So these were mature believers who used to be Jews. Now, it's important to know, too, is when you're a Jew back then, you had certain customs. You were part of a nation. But when you believed in Jesus, you put yourself at risk. So when we read, some have neglected meeting together, they've made it a habit of not meeting together, it's because a lot of them were scared. Because they literally had to leave all that they knew of their Jewish culture, their family, to join this new movement that Jesus started through the disciples and the apostles. So when they met together, their lives were literally at danger, not only by their nation, but also by the Roman government. Because at that time, Christianity was very much illegal, and you could be put to death if you were seen gathered together and practicing your Christian faith. You could be persecuted. So there were a lot of reasons in our passage today for those people not to be meeting together. Literally, every time they met, their lives were on the line. So there's some context there. Also, the word better. We're going to see this newfound faith. In Hebrews, the book in Hebrew, it was 13 times that the word better was written or spoken to about. So a lot of people call this the apostle of the newfound faith, or the apostle of the better faith, this Christian faith. It was a newfound faith. And what was so new about it is there was fellowship with God. We read this earlier. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence, this boldness to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is his body, Jesus's body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, first of all, this newfound faith meant God is not far off or disconnected. If you were asked people, who is God to you? Some of them would say, well, he's a God who created the earth. I believe in God, but he created the earth, and then he just left it for us to deal with. And this, in the Jewish culture too, a common person often felt far off or disconnected from God. But we know God is not far off or disconnected now. We can literally be connected to God. You don't have to be a priest. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be a king anymore. This is new to the Hebrew people, to the Jewish people, that I can actually be connected to God whenever I want. Also, God is not to be feared or dreaded. Don't get me wrong. There needs to be a healthy fear. And when I say fear of God, I mean an awe of God, a reverence to God that we need to have. And honestly, as an American people, I think we've gotten away from the reverence of God, the reverence of Scripture and God's Word. But there is a healthy fear that we are to fear God because He holds us. He holds our future. He's determining when Jesus is going to come back. So there's this healthy awe. But this type of fear or dread back in the day before Jesus was very much alive because they feared God would put them back into exile. And so there's fear of God, but that was no longer the case. We can come, and anybody can come, the common man or woman can come boldly and with confidence to God. See, God through Jesus gives us 24/7 access. So when the Hebrew nation was hearing this in the year 60 AD, this was very much foreign to them. We don't have access to God. In fact, sacrifices are only given at certain times. The forgiveness of sins was only if God would want forgiveness from us, maybe once a year. We would gather together to see if the sacrifices were good enough that God could accept our sin and forgive our sin. No more. God through Jesus gives us 24/7 access. God gives us a high priest through Jesus over His house. See, when Jesus died, something happened in the temple. The curtain was torn in two. While Jesus' body was torn apart, the curtain was torn in two, giving us a high priest. We're no longer do we need a high priest to be our mediator to God. Jesus became that high priest. You know, this curtain splitting, I was just watching The Wizard of Oz the other day. And you know, the great and powerful Oz, right? He's just big old face on this curtain and this big old voice that Dorothy and her friends made it to. But then what do you say? No, you have to do all of these things. Go back and get this and get this. And then this blessing or your request will be given. But then what happens near the end? The dog Toto just wrecked everything for Oz. Where the curtain was taken down. It wasn't torn down, but it was taken down by Toto. And Dorothy and her friends saw this Oz, but this common man that said, yes, I've done evil. Do you know this? When the curtain was torn in two when Jesus died, there was no disappointment in who is behind the curtain. There was no disappointment that now we could go behind the curtain because of this high priest that we now have, and we can enter into the most holy place, and we can ask for forgiveness for ourselves. See, some people still don't understand that because some people still want to go to a priest to tell them of their sins so that then the priest can go to God. But see, that's not necessary anymore. We just read why. The high priest is that bridge to God. And since Jesus is the high priest now, He is reigning in His kingdom called heaven. And He is literally interceding on our behalf to God. It's an incredible scene, but it was completely new when they were hearing this. We've had 2,000 years to digest this news. But they're just hearing this for the first time. And they're like, what is this? We don't have to have a high priest. We have a high priest through Jesus. That now we have 24/7 access to God. It's an amazing scene. See, Scripture says this. These aren't just my words. Such a high priest truly meets our needs. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, He does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for His own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when He offered Himself. This is three verses before our passage today. But this is still just mind-blowing to these Jews, to these Christians who are like, what? The relationship literally changed because of Jesus Christ between His people and God, and it was incredible. Securing this newfound faith this fellowship with God that we have, but also we see in this passage that there's a fellowship with each other that is very, very, very important. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. That's the promise to us and the fellowship between us and God, what we can do personal. And now it's this. Now, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love, towards good deeds, not giving up meeting together as someone are in the habit of doing. That's important, that phrase. They're in the habit of doing it. We'll get to that. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day, capital D, the day approaching. So when they're hearing this, not only as the day in just a few years from when this was written, that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, the temple was going to be destroyed that day, but also now, the day when Jesus returns. Because church, do you know, tomorrow is never promised in your life. You hear this? You hear this? Tomorrow is never promised. It never is. We plan like it is. I'm a planner. I'm 3 to 5 years down the road right now. It's 2025 in my brain. But we're not promised tomorrow. Guess what? God woke you up today. God woke you up today for a specific purpose. And you are here together for a specific purpose, and that is to glorify God and encourage one another. Just your presence here, look around at each other. Just your presence here, you are encouraging one another because the day is coming and we need to be prepared. I just want to extract some of these good things in this scripture verse. We need to draw near to God. Again, this was foreign in the early century church. We can actually draw near to God, but there's a few ways the scripture tells us we need to do it. With a true or a sincere heart. Guess what? You can't lie to God. You can't. So be honest with God about your sin, about how you mess up, about how you need him. Just be honest, because you can't hide from him and you can't lie to him. So don't even try. He wants a true heart. No matter how bad you think you are or what you did was just horrible, it doesn't matter to God, because he loves you, he wants you, and he proved it by sending Jesus Christ to offer you access to him, to come with a true heart, not a false heart. We don't lie to God. And then this faith that we have gives us full assurance. Now, this full assurance is you are sure in God and his love for you and who he is. The faith that we have, the things that we can't see, that part of our faith that sometimes makes us wonder or doubt, but this faith that we have, the stronger our faith gets, whether that's through circumstances that cause you to trust God more, to cause you to have more faith in God, that faith gives you more and more assurance that God is who he says he is. And also with clean hearts. Back in the day when they used to sacrifice animals, the priest would take the blood and just sprinkle it on certain things that they want clean. Just sprinkle the blood, the sacrifice, on certain things, on heads, just to make them clean. But now, because of Jesus, we have clean hearts here. But we need to clean up sometimes, right? That's why it's so important for us to offer our sins. Because guess what? We're all human. Even I'm human. I make mistakes. I mess up. But I don't let that get me down. I turn from those things. And as God brings sins up in my own life, I repent and I move on from them. But we need to have clean hearts, and God cleans you up. You don't have to come to God clean. You hear this? You don't have to come to God clean. He'll clean you up. And then we can approach God with clean hearts. Second, we need to hold fast to our faith. Hold fast means we need to not open our hand. We need to have a kung fu grip on our faith. And we can't let anybody deter us from that. We need to hold fast. So the believer is not to doubt Jesus died for us and rose for us. These are the staples of the Christian faith. We need to know that Jesus died for our sins. We need to be all in agreement of that. We need to know that Jesus rose for us. And still to this day, in 2,000 years later, when they knew the exact place that Jesus was buried, they knew the exact place that Jesus was put to death, nobody can find him. Why? Because his body isn't here. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changed everything for the believers. And it changes everything for us too. But guess what? They're not going to find Jesus' body. Jesus rose from the dead, and he's interceding on our behalf in heaven. Those things are staples to the Christian faith. You have to believe those things. But we're not to listen to voices of doubt and false teaching. But guess what? Doubt comes, right? Doubt comes in my mind too. We hear ourselves. We hear false teaching like there is no hell. That's a false teaching. There is hell. Pastor Ryan made that clear 2 weeks ago. But Pastor Ryan didn't make it clear. God did. It's called his word. He actually says it in his word. But some people are like, nope, don't like that verse. Let's get that out of here. That can't be right in our progressive minds. There it is. Oh, this sounds good. Let's keep that. This is false teaching. And we hear it, but that doesn't mean you have to listen to it. There's a difference between hearing and listening. We hear it, but God gives us a great filter to say, that doesn't sound right. No, that doesn't sound right. That's why it's important for you to know God, to know his word. That doesn't sound right. That's false. That's not right. We're not to listen to doubt. We're not to listen to false teaching. And we're not to let circumstances, trials, temptations shake our faith. In fact, we should do the opposite. Those circumstances that don't make sense or that seem unfair, those trials, those temptations that are just getting at us and Satan just seems to be attacking us. Don't let it shake your faith. Help it to build your faith. Those things, I believe, are allowed in our life to build our faith and build our reliance on who Jesus is. Don't let those things shake your faith, because a lot of people go away from Christ and go away from God because of these things. Man, if God was really here and true, he wouldn't let this happen to me. He's too good of a God. He can't exist. So your faith just starts to be diminished. Don't let it shake your faith. Let it build your faith. And this is good. Stir up one another in love and to do good works. Now, I want you to write a word here. Ready for it? It's not in your outline on purpose. It's called paroxysm. P-A-R-O-X-Y-S-M. Stir up, others say spur one another on. That literally means in Greek, an outbreak of sickness or symptoms, spasm, irritation, and exasperation. Sounds great, right? But this phrase, stir one another up, this was used in, write this down, Acts 15:39. This is when Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement on Mark and taking Mark. Paul said no, Barnabas said yes, and so they literally irritated each other so much that they had to say, we're parting ways, and that's okay sometimes. We see it in scripture. But this is a positive happening when we see it in Hebrews. It literally means when you get together, irritate each other to be better. That doesn't sound very good, right? But what does Proverbs say? Is iron sharpens iron. We should be sharpening each other. You know how the best way is to sharpen metal? Is to go against the grain. And going against the grain is painful. It's hard. It's difficult. But the best friends that you have in this life are the ones who challenge you to be a better person. And if you surround yourself with agreeable people who never rub you the wrong way to be a better person, get new friends. No, those are good friends to have, but those true friends are ones you say, hey, quit being an idiot, man. Like, just get it together. And this is how God's worked in my life. So this is how he can work in your life. You just need to let it happen. Quit being a dope. All right, this is too short of a life to be messing around here, believer. And remember, this is a believer to a believer. Because non-believers aren't held to the standard of scripture that we are, those who know the faith, it's different. So this is believer to believer. So when you meet together like this, you rub shoulders with each other, irritate each other to be better people. Irritate each other to love better. Irritate each other to do good works. And I don't know about you, it's easier to irritate somebody in person than it is on the phone where they can hang up, through text where they can ghost you, which is a teenage term for they just ignore you. You can't get ghosted in person. You gotta deal with it in person. That's why I love in person, and that's also why this happens too. Scripture tells us we can't neglect meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Now, I love football. Thank you, Zach. Quarterback, Danville, you know. So I thought I'd utilize him. I love football. Now, this is a beach football, but any football, I love it. A few years ago, Nikki and I had the opportunity to go to a Penn State whiteout game against Ohio State. Has anybody enjoyed a whiteout game? Yeah. This is the one where they blocked the kick and they returned it. I don't know if you remember that, and they won. Incredible. I've also attended a whiteout game watching it on TV. It's good. I get worked up. I yell at the refs like they can hear me on TV. But to be at a whiteout game, the rumblings, the loudness of thousands of people gathering together. Why? To watch people in uniforms and tight pants around one ball, that if this ball does what I want with my team, I'm gonna get up and cheer and spill my drink and my nachos on a person I don't even know, but it doesn't even matter because we're Penn State fans. Ugh. You don't get that at home, folks. You spill your nachos on your wife, it's gonna be a little different reaction. But I think it goes without saying, there's just something about being here with each other, about spurring one another on. And I want to say this to our online community. The important phrase here to realize is people were getting out of the habit of meeting together. There are some times where we don't meet together. There are times where you're on vacation. That's okay. You're visiting. You're ill, so you can't be around people. Global pandemics happen where we can't meet together, where online is great. And there's some of you who are watching from Indiana. We have a ton of states and either other countries watching us, and that is great. We love that you're here and that you're growing, but let online be a supplement for you. Get involved somewhere in your community. But sometimes it's good to watch online. But I've watched our services online too, and it's just not the same, right? But this is what it's saying. Do not neglect meeting together, because there is power when we meet together. He went to Nazareth. Now, this is a New Testament thing, this not meeting together. Just because Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, right? Since we are the church needs to gather together. He went to Nazareth, this is Jesus, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. Don't you hear a lot of times where Jesus didn't go to church? He was out with the marginalized and the tax collectors. That is true. But he spent most of his time with his disciples, and he spent a lot of time in the synagogues, in the churches of that day, with people. And he stood up and he read and he taught as he went into these towns. He went in with the church people. Okay, so don't listen to this lie that Jesus never went to church. He did. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Now, this is the disciples. After Jesus ascended into heaven, what did they do? They met together at the temple, and they stayed continually worshiping God together. Because the Holy Spirit is with us doesn't mean we don't need each other as well. I love William Barclay here. There is no man who can live the Christian life and neglect the fellowship of the church. That's scripture. William Barclay is just saying it in his own words. Most do not attend church. Here's why: out of fear. They're too afraid because, man, what if one of my coworkers is there and I know how I act at work? You know, and they see me, they're gonna be like, well, what is he doing here? Actually, it should be the opposite. It should be, thank goodness they're here, right? Not out of fear. Don't put the fear of God in people. Let God do that. All right, but you're here. That's the important thing. Also out of fastidiousness. How many got that word as you're writing? Fastidiousness. It was my word of the week here. But fastidiousness is interesting. What it means is high standards, too good of moral standards. And so fastidiousness keeps people away because when they come to church, they think they have to look a certain way, dress a certain way, live a certain way. Churches give that mantra to people so they stay away. Let's not be a fastidious church. Let's not be a club where there's those types of standards and do's and looks and all this. That's not church. We're united by Jesus, not our clothes. We're united by Jesus, not our bank accounts. So let's not be a fastidious church. And also, people don't come out of deceit. And they're literally deceived by thinking they are better than the church. They are deceived into conceit, that they're smarter than the pastor who's up there preaching. I'll meet with you. I'll challenge you on what I know of God's word. So they stay away because, oh, I don't need the church. I'm too pompous by myself. You know what God says about you? You're nothing. Compared to God, your wisdom is nothing. Your strength compared to God is weakness. So don't think too highly of yourself not to meet and hear a unified message of Jesus Christ. So now what? What do we do when we hear verses like this? Come to church to give, not to get. Because what happens is when you give yourself, you're actually getting as a byproduct of your giving. Give to people, rub shoulders with people, get involved in people's lives. We have a prayer team. Anybody can be on this prayer team. All we need is your consent. Give us your email and you're gonna get the needs and the concerns of the people that you rub shoulders with, that you can start praying for them. We have a Barnabas team who is incredible, by the way. If you're on our Barnabas team, thank you. The Barnabas team sends out cards. If you've been in need, you probably got something from the Barnabas team. You can be a part of that. Just let us know. Ask God to show you how you can give more care and time to others. Ask, how is my church attendance? I love this. I figured this out in my own brain, so all you calculators, you can fact check me, I guess it's called these days. Think about it. 1 year is 3,760 waking and non-working hours. So what I did is I took 8 hours of bedtime and 40 hours a week out of that number. That over 3,000 hours. So I'm not counting that, but to be honest, who gets 8 hours of sleep a night? I don't. But I make up for that of over 40 hours a week. If you attend church 2 times, remember that stat in that video, 1 to 2 times, actually 1, you're considered a regular attender. But let's just go to 2 times a month at CWC. You will spend 30 hours a year fellowshipping with the church. Isn't that incredible to think about? That's only 2 times a year. And actually, that's above the national average. I think here, a regular attender, it's actually 2 to 3 times. So good job. But this church has always exceeded every stat and expectation. And I hope that it improves. But this is just for you. 2 times a month might be a lot for you. But if you add it up, 30 hours a year in fellowship with the church. And I think it's so important to realize, I heard this analogy. If your life was a babbling brook, the twists and turns, the bubbles, the little bit of waves, just think when you hook up with another babbling brook and another babbling brook and another babbling brook, you get bigger, more powerful, and then comes Niagara Falls. Bunch of little brooks together with the power to energize, to have energy for over millions of households. That's what the power of Niagara Falls is. That's what the church is. Bunch of little babbling brooks coming together, being more powerful than you can be on your own when you rub shoulders with each other. ask, how is my participation? Because we don't want to just come to church, we want to be the church. That means we do life together. Next week, we're going to continue our 4G series with Give. We're going to gather together here. You're doing it. Great job. But also, we're going to give. And we're going to grow. And then we're going to go. So next week, join us as we let you know how you can grow in your faith better by meeting throughout the week. Let's pray. Father, you are good. You are powerful. Thank you for gathering us here together, for being here. I pray that as we go outside these walls, that we would be better for what we've heard through your word today. Fill us up, make us stronger. Help us to come back next week, not only by ourselves, but maybe with some friends, so we can experience your presence and we can encourage and spur one another on in love and good deeds. Thank you, Jesus. All God's people said, amen and amen. Hey, church, go have a powerful week.
Hola, hermanos y hermanas.
Hello, brothers and sisters.
Mucho gusto.
Nice to see you.
My name is Mike, and I'm the worship pastor at Christ Wesleyan, and it is my privilege and pleasure for Pastor Emer to be here with us in the Church Online post-stream. Pastor Emer, hello.
Hi, Pastor Mike. It is a wonderful blessing to be here with you. And also, it is a wonderful opportunity to share that we have a Hispanic ministry here in Christ Wesleyan Church. If you have a friend, or you are working on Walmart, Wise, or wherever you are going to invite the people to come to our service, it's every single Sunday, 9:30 a.m. We have a place to worship, to pray, and to praise God for all the things that God is doing in our lives.
And God is working in some wonderful ways in our Hispanic ministry. And the mission of Christ Wesleyan Church is to share the light of Jesus Christ with our world, which means every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And in our Hispanic ministry, we have people from many Hispanic-speaking countries. So if Yes. you know anyone who is interested or would benefit from connecting, we want them to be involved. Hispanic ministry service is Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. in Davis Chapel every weekend. So if you have questions, you can email Pastor Emer or call the church, emer.ramirez@cwc.life. And so, super excited to have you here. And speaking of the services that happen on the weekend, this weekend, we're continuing through All In. What does it mean for us to not just go to church, but be the church? And we heard a message about how do we gather? What does it look like for us to gather? What's something that stuck out to you, Pastor Emer?
For me, it is something that God is clinging here in my ears. Pastor Mike, it is a wonderful blessing when we are reading the Bible for the early church. It is like an example for us. They were spending time together, praying, worshiping, eating, and it is a wonderful blessing to be together. I know you are so happy to have this way to see the sermon and everything, but we want to see you here, and we want to worship with you.
Yeah, and one of the things that stuck out to me, Pastor Emer, is just how church attendance is not a box to check. It's out of the overflow of the relationship that we have with Jesus that we want to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that happens, yes, on a weekend and also throughout the week, like you're saying. The early church gathered every single day. And so gathering in homes, gathering together in a public place. And so wherever you're at, we just encourage you to seek the Lord, to take that next step of faith. You know, you heard in the message about sometimes we don't attend church or gather together because of fear or deceit or that word fastidiousness. And so whatever it is, if that's been a part of your life, confess that to the Lord because he loves you and he desires to work in and among his body as we're together.
Yes, something that it is interesting also is for me, it is going to be a wonderful blessing to see all the body of Christ gathering together, worshiping together 4 times a month.
Yeah.
And which is like we are going to spend in the house of the Lord 60 hours a year. Yeah. What do you think?
I think it's such a beautiful expression because how it parallels with us giving God our first and best as the week starts, with our time.
Yes.
You know, so as the week starts, getting to invest right away to say, God, the beginning of this week is yours, and I want you to guide it and fill it at the start. Yeah. So we want to be able to continue to gather together. And speaking of gathering together, there are a handful of things we want you to be aware of. First up, Encounter Service is coming back on August 27th, and that is an opportunity that will happen coming up at the end of this month. It's open to the church and the community where you can experience God's presence and worship through music, dance, art, scripture, prayer, true stories, and more. You're going to have an opportunity to encounter the one true living God through these avenues and be able to respond in this worship-filled evening. You don't want to miss it. And also, this will be Pastor Ryan's final encounter service. Thank you, Pastor Ryan, for your service and leadership. And we don't want you to miss your weekend starting with Encounter on August 27th.
And also, in August 28th, we are going to have like a family bonfire night. It is a wonderful blessing to share the vision for all of us, the vision for Kids Way, for our youth, for marriage. It is going to be a wonderful blessing to have all of you here with us. It's like we are going to have food, and what else, Pastor Mike? Like
marshmallows?
Yeah. So, bonfire is August 28th. What hour, Professor?
Yeah, it's going to start in the evening. There's pre-registration online, and we would love to know that you're planning on coming. The pulse and heartbeat for family ministry is strong, and you don't want to miss what's coming up this fall, and that's going to be a great way to find out the next steps. Speaking of the weekend of August 27th and 28th, it's going to be a weekend with Muy Divertido. Mm-hmm. Fun. Because on August 29th, we have the Kids Way Volunteer Lunch happening, and if you've got a heart for ministry and for children, we would love for you to join our Kids Way team to check out the curriculum, get updates on the rooms. You don't want to miss it, man. I just walked through there earlier today, and the visualization of scripture is incredible. We want to partner with families in raising children up to be godly adults. And so, Volunteer Lunch happening August 29th, you don't want to miss that. Also, if you've got any question about information about how to connect, Pastor Emer, how can people do that?
Remember, our website is cwc.life. Please, if you want to see more events here in Christ Wesleyan Church, you are going to go to this website and you are going to know more about Christ Wesleyan Church.
Yeah, and speaking about today's message and how we gather together, if you'd like to take the message further, you can hop online to cwc.life/dive-deep, where you can catch the podcast that takes the sermon a step further and deeper every Monday. So don't miss Dive Deep coming out tomorrow. As always, we look forward to seeing you here next week. Adios.
Bye-bye.